movie. We've survived the devastation of 2016, and the creatures outside seem to be getting louder. We desperately need food. We need help. Help us. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Go Watch a Movie, episode 15. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
We're doing a zombie theme today. That's what that opening was about. We are a movie discussion podcast, and this is the first episode of 2017. And boy, I am excited because we watched two interesting and good movies, just full of fun. But first, movie news. First thing I had today, sir, was Ben Affleck wants to do Batman right. He has refused several scripts and said he will not start production until that he gets the script that he thinks is good. He cares that much about that character, the character, and making a good film. Now, I personally think it's because of how Batman v Superman was received, and the mixed, signals with Suicide Squad. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. If I was him, I would hold out because, I mean, I don't know if it's the quality level, maybe it's the writing. I don't know. It just hasn't really, knocked me out with him as Batman.
Yeah,
and I think he actually kind of works.
Yes.
After seeing him in the costume, seeing him as Bruce Wayne, it does kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to see a better script and something that really actually gives him an opportunity to show us his Batman.
Now with the DC films, do you think it's because we have been so used to the Marvel cinematic that they were rejected so much, or because how Marvel has that light feel to it?
Marvel has I don't know if it's a pattern or what it is, but they can just churn them out.
And yeah.
They're always pretty much good. Yeah. There might be one or two little exceptions.
But their villain, people have an issue with their villains, how they say they're not developed enough. But other than that,
But the DC movies, I'm not sure what it is. I think it's just an overall feel.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they're nailing it. I think they're looking for something that they're not getting. And they're probably not trying to be exactly like the Marvel movies.
Yeah,
they're probably
trying to
do their own thing. Find their own niche, but it's whatever they're doing, it just isn't working.
But it definitely seems like they're rushing to get their teams out there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pile as many people as we can in this to catch up,
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're just playing catch up.
To have that big team movie. But yeah, I say hats off to him because I wouldn't want that either. If I'm going to put on the cape and cowl in a solo film for the first time, screw that,
He doesn't want his name attached to, the worst Batman movie ever.
Because he already has it to Daredevil.
Yeah.
Next up, and it's a slow news day because this is not my only other story, but I read an article about Robin Williams. And apparently, he put a call in to Christopher Columbus, the director of two Harry Potter movies. He wanted to be Hagrid. But there is a clause in those films to where they want only British actors for the leads.
Mm.
So he, of course, was denied. But can you imagine that? Robin Williams, I'm sure he could have brought something to it because he was a very talented actor and he could tone it down when he needed to. That 1 hour photo, Insomnia, things like that. But Hagrid would have been very, very different. I love Hagrid. I love what they did with him.
Mm-hmm.
But Robin Williams would have put a spin on it.
Yeah, whenever you hear about that, what other actors were, in for that part, you kind of don't see it because whoever played it, that's who you see.
That's there, yeah.
It's like the whole Matrix thing.
Will Smith?
Will Smith, could you believe that he would have been Keanu's character? It just doesn't work.
That character would have been, the movies would have been completely different. That deadness, that robotic feel that Keanu brought to that role was what made it so spectacular, I think.
Yeah, you hear that all the time, but you can't picture anybody other than the person who plays it.
And that was entertainment news, guys. We're going to move on to The Girl with All the Gifts. That was one of the zombie movies we watched today. The other being The Train to Busan. But The Girl with All the Gifts stars Gemma Arden, Glenn Close. I'm going to skip ahead to Patty Considine. Sorry. And the star, well, my phone just froze, but the girl with all the gifts is there as well herself, and I can't scroll down to her name for whatever reason. Anyway, Robert, thoughts?
Overall, I really like this movie. I thought it was pretty, a pretty original take on the whole zombie thing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, that there are, the cause of the of people becoming zombies is a fungus that
gets
in and around your brain. I don't think I've heard that one before.
Mm-mm.
So that was refreshing. The ending I thought was interesting. I'm kind of on the fence on a couple things, but overall, I thought this was a really good zombie movie.
Sana Nanua is the main character, the little girl. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I liked it overall. There was one scene that kind of ripped me out of it. Mm. The whole, her, okay, so The Girl with All the Gifts is a zombie movie, as we said. Well, it starts as a full-on zombie movie, but it kind of morphs into something different towards the end, like, because you kind of don't see zombies anymore, like, at a certain point in the movie. But these kids have been discovered to have... for those who are new to the podcast, sorry, we are a movie discussion podcast. We discuss full on everything and
spoilers.
Spoilers. Listen whenever you want, but sometimes it's good to have seen the film. Sometimes the conversation sparks people to want to go watch the movie. So yeah, but the soldiers have been found a nursery full of kids who had eaten their way out of their parents. Now, they weren't full-on zombies. They were something different. They were a hybrid. One of these kids is a standout, Melanie. She is highly functional. She is super smart, answers all the questions. They put them in this classroom to try and teach them humanity, but they do it in a point where, like, they're scrapped into wheelchairs. And, like, arms, legs, head. Because they still, if they smell flesh... they go for it, which I thought, I like that idea. And they make you know that she's special from the start because she's in there, she knows all the beats of when everything's going to happen. And maybe other kids, we don't see their routines, have to get forced into the chairs. But two soldiers come in her cell, and she instantly is already dressed and sitting happily to get waiting to get scrapped up while one soldier holds a... AR rifle, assault rifle on her, and the other one scraps her in. And she even at one point he misses a scrap or something like that, and she lets him know, like, hey, you need to do this, you know. So she enjoys this life that she's been given. She doesn't know anything else, of course, but she seems to enjoy it. She loves her teacher. But yeah, that's the setup for this movie. And we find out that outside of this facility, zombies are piling on the gates. They are having to shoot them and mow them down constantly because the zombies are just about broken in. I love the scene where we realize they show that these people are wearing some kind of gel. Because the teacher touches the girl with all the gifts, the main character, and one of the soldiers sees her and he bursts in and he has to set an example. So he spits on his arm and rubs off his, what is it called?
Something. Some kind of blocker.
Yeah, blacking gel or something like that.
Blocking, yeah, blocking gel.
And they put it in front of one of the kids.
And suddenly that kid goes from sitting there quiet to full on zombie rage mode, going to rip out their face and eat me. And I thought that was cool. Then the whole classroom just kind of goes up there, except her. She kind of resists that point. But, yeah.
It's the only point that she resists in the movie. In the rest of the movie, she kind of becomes whatever the rest of the kids are.
And it's... I found it weird that, like, after they feed, they go comatose. Well,
yeah, it's like they ate a bunch of turkey, and they're just like, they got to take a nap. They got to take a nap after that.
Yeah, it's odd. They feed them, and then we see it on several occasions with her. And they just go out. First, I thought maybe they're drugging them or something, but nope. So whenever these kids feed, now maybe it's a skeleton so that to show them how different they are than the regular zombies. And these are full-fledged, run-at-you, rage zombies, rip you apart. Like, they're not old school, ominous, creepy style zombies.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that they just stood there when there wasn't any flesh, like anything to chase or anything going on. They just kind of stood there in this weird kind of motion where they kind of like rocked back and forth. And that was kind of cool. You don't see that a lot.
Yeah, they come into the city and they are looking through binoculars and they see just all these hundreds and hundreds of zombies just standing there motionless, waiting to come at something that moves around them. But they don't, unless there's a particular noise. But that was cool. But the thing that pulled me out of this movie was there's a scene where she finds four zombie kids. These zombie kids set a trap and kill one of the soldiers, who is the dumbest soldier I've ever seen. But yeah, they set a trap and they find him and they kill him. And the other soldier and the teacher who survived are coming out of this other trap that these kids set, and all of a sudden, it's a showdown. The leader of these kids has a baseball bat. He's going walking dead, geeking on them, and then there's a circle of other little kids. They're zombies. They're attacking. These kids haven't been taught or trained. They've been living in the city. Just eating what they can, they're scavengers. But this soldier, who's been this BA dude, take no crap, I hate zombies, this whole movie, just stands back. The little girl says, I got this, you stand here, don't shoot. And she starts hissing at the other ones and growling at them and just challenges the leader for dominance. Now, to set up the ending of what happens, I get it. But it completely, this dude would have shot. He should have
I think as soon as one of them would have ran at her or them, he would have shot.
Yeah.
But he was waiting for that moment, I think. It was a little odd, but I kind of liked that whole thing because it kind of showed that they were almost, they're like developing, kind of like they're in the caveman stage and they're developing and eventually they're going to take over the world. So
it was a perfect setup for the end, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, I was getting on that part. But overall, I enjoyed this movie a lot. She did an amazing job. She looks like a little female version of Denzel Washington. Did you get that?
No, I didn't see Denzel at all. I didn't see.
Some shots, I'm like, look at that little Denzel.
Did not get that.
Glenn Close does a great job as the main antagonist in this movie. Medical band thing they found. Isn't that one of the same things that was in Jurassic Park?
It was similar.
Okay, look at that thing.
They may stole that idea from them.
But we find out that there are several stages for this virus. It starts with the rage, and then I guess the fungus that it is coming from wraps around the brain, and then eventually
shoots out your nose and mouth and grows into some type of a plant thing with giant spores that are impossible to break unless there's heat or moisture. And
so we come across after the main base where the associate's kids gets overrun, of course, and there are a few survivors, and then we come across this town that's looking past all the obstacles of just riding zombies with these vines and pods growing out of their face up into the skies. And Glenn Close's character, the doctor, who has been studying all this, says it's the last step of the evolution, of the fungus. And she's basically, if these things get airborne, then the world's in trouble because now at this point it's only bites and scratches and fluids change. If the spores open, it's airborne, and everyone becomes a zombie who breathes it.
Did they ever explain where it originated? Like, did it come from space? Was it something that just happened on Earth, like some kind of weird mutation or whatever? I never got the fact they explain that at all.
At some point started happening, maybe some bad shrooms.
Yeah, could have been some bad shrooms.
Kids are out there, you know how those kids are. what do you think of the ending? Like,
when she burns or when she's like, I don't know what, if she's like the enforcer of the school.
Yeah.
Like, which,
I guess all of it. Cause like, so the.
I like how Glenn Close's character with the doctor was like, yeah, I really need your brain and your spinal fluid or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I can create this, whatever, like, to save people.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, why should you guys be the ones that are saved? Why not, why not us? I like that moment a lot. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. I like how she burned the spores so that they would release.
She made her prove, or she made her flat out say, are we alive? Or because Glenn Close made a point earlier in the movie, you guys only mimic. You just copy us, what you see from us. You're not even alive. So this little girl has a moment that Robert's talking about that she forces Glenn Close to say, she's like, so you need us. Because we're alive, we don't just mimic. And Glenn Close says, yes, you are alive. And then it goes into what Robert just said. And yeah, that's all she needed. She's like, okay, well then, there's no point in killing all of us. Why not you guys,
Well, she probably realized, because she's super smart,
mm-hmm.
and she's putting all this stuff together. She's like, well, this is inevitable. The world's going to change.
Yeah.
So why not us?
Mm-hmm. So, we've already started this process.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a cleansing, like it's like almost like the world fighting back if you look at it, like, because it's regrowing through the symbiotic,
Yeah, kind of in a weird way. I don't know if you've ever seen Nausicaa of the Valley of Wind, but it kind of reminds me. It reminds me that there's a toxic jungle,
mm-hmm.
and the toxic jungle.
Is this Ghibli?
Yes, yeah. I love me some Ghibli. It's like pretty much destroying the earth. But what the toxic jungle is actually doing, even though it's like a giant fungus, it's like purifying the earth. It's taking all the radiation and the bad stuff that man has put into the earth and is removing it, through some weird jungle, mojo. I don't know how it's doing it. But it kind of reminded me of that. It's like the world is fighting back against something that's destroying it by creating a fungus that eventually will, spawn a new, race or something. So
it's actually piggybacking off of us. Like it's... Like they kept referring to this symbiotic type relationship. That concept is cool the more you think about it. But in the end, they find one of these giant trees with enough of these spores on it that can pretty much ruin, or I guess finish the job if they all get unleashed. And the little girl sets them on fire, releases all the spores, making sure first that the soldier who has at first hated her, but now grown to love her, and the teacher that she loves, are safe. When Close came to follow her and didn't make it, she met up with those recess-like kids, those kindergartners who devoured her.
Lost children.
Yeah.
That reminded me of the Lost Boys.
From Peter Pan.
I don't know why. I kept wanting to
chat with you. Rufio. But I think that was flawed in itself, because this the teacher she loves, she locked him into this Jurassic Park thing that I was mentioning earlier, mm-hmm. and it's sealed, and has an airlock and all that. Now, the idiot soldier who went out to scavenge for food and never made it back, saying that there was no food in there. Now that teacher.
He somehow got her some food.
You think they can get her food?
Put him in the airlock thing.
That's true. They can just sit him in there.
Get her food and stuff. So
yeah.
Good stuff.
Okay.
She was trapped in there. She couldn't leave.
Yeah. She has to spend the rest of her life alone.
Teaching the next species of the world. Yeah.
You make it sound like no, it's noble.
It is. It's kind of an honor. She might, in the future, well, man, like, there was a teacher who taught us, and she might will be like regarded as a goddess who taught the first generation of whatever they are.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, she is.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, but now you're stuck in this tin can for the rest of your life with nothing but kids. She tried to leave her and Adam, but oh well. I guess. But yeah, that's the girl with all the gifts. I recommend it.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
It's fun, and you guys will see that idiot soldier that we're talking about. Yeah. Worst soldier you've ever seen. So, with that said, that will bring us to some Potter and Family promos.
This week on the Epic Film Guys podcast.
I am very, very upset with 40% of our listeners right now. The poll for our featured actor for January closed. 26 votes in the affirmative for Patrick goddamn Swayze for our featured actor for the month of January. Justin's going to be the one that's going to be setting all these clips, because if I try to, if in my brain, if I Google Patrick Swayze plus acting, it's just going to return zero results. So,
burn. I'll burn you. I'll set you on fire, throw you into a bonfire, and just watch you roll around in it.
And we're back. Now we're going to do, for your new listeners, one of my favorite segments, trailers. Who went first last time?
I don't know.
How about you want to go first?
I can if you like.
All right.
Mine isn't a new movie. It's a slightly older movie. It's Dope. I don't know if you've seen this
before. I've seen the trailer for it. I haven't seen it.
The trailer, the reason why I want to bring it up, because I don't think the trailer does the movie justice.
Mm-hmm.
I think the trailer, it didn't make me want to see the film. I was like, but I heard some buzz about it online. I was like looking at the movie and like, every once in a while, you see Dope mentioned. I'm like, I want to check this out.
Mm-hmm.
So I checked it out, and it was amazing. It's like, I can't even really explain how good it was, but
it's definitely worth seeing. If you saw the trailer and it made you not want to watch the movie, go watch it anyway, because it's that good of a movie. I think the trailer just doesn't do it justice.
Gotcha.
And that's why I mentioned it, because sometimes trailers make a movie seem really, really good, and you go and you watch him, and it cracks Max Payne. But then sometimes, sometimes trailers are crap. They just don't make you want to watch the movie. But when you actually watch the movie, it's amazing. So there's something to say about, you know, bad trailers. Don't necessarily not go see that movie because of a bad trailer.
I understand. Yeah. Okay. I'll check it out. Dope.
Dope.
Yeah. I think it's kind of about dope, right? Like these kids have an adventure with drugs.
Dope in it,
yeah.
But it's so much more.
Mm.
It's a universal story. Anybody can get into it. You don't have to belong to any one group to like that particular movie.
Awesome.
It's amazing.
Mine is a bit more mainstream and isn't out yet, but Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales. I'm a huge fan of the pirate franchise, which is why it pains me to see Johnny Depp going down this path. A lot of people are tired of these movies. I could watch them forever. I love them. Some of them are better than others. I will admit that. Some aren't great. But he always brings something fun to the table. So this one, that trailer where Ed Tom from No Country for Old Men, I can't think of the real actor's name. Mm-hmm. He's the new villain and captain in this. Have you seen this trailer?
Mm-hmm.
They do that whole ominous crawl up, and he looks to have taken over the Davy Jones' ship, which I'm kicking myself, but he looks to have taken that over, and he's walking up to this prison kid, and he gets in his face. That's for Captain Jack Sparrow. And I was like, oh, let's do this. I don't even need to see Johnny Depp right now. Let's do this. I want to watch it right now. But yeah, I'm sure everyone has seen that trailer. If not, check it out. I want to see it. I know others are tired of it, but Disney's on a roll right now. Yay, Disney! 7.1, something like that, billion last year. From movie grosses.
Wow.
Yeah, they're kicking Marvel and Star Wars, of course, you know.
Oh,
they are kicking butts. Which brings us to this movie I it was Paul from the Countdown Podcast, his number one movie of 2016. I want to say it's number one. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry, Paul. But The Train to Busan. This is another zombie film. And I can barely pronounce American names. But the leads are Siok Woo and Soo Ann. So-Ann, S-O-O-Ann, which was her name in the film, and her real name, actually.
That's cool.
So, yeah, that's cool. Sometimes I do these with impressions, but it's the first episode of the new season. I'm going to take you guys in slowly. I mean, guest stars, not impressions. But anyway, and Sang, we'll call him Sang. He was another one of my favorite characters. He was a big guy in this movie.
So I wanted to shout him on this one. But this film, I thought, was magnificent. It was a new take on a zombie movie with some old homages to, you know, the classic zombie movies. There were speedy zombies. The fact that most of this film was down on the train does not hurt it at all. It increases, like, the tension in some cases. For me, what about you, sir?
Like zombie person instead of ice person. Like, I thought it was amazing. I really like this movie a lot. I saw the trailer. Here's trailers again. Made it look really amazing. Yeah. So you're thinking, I probably saw all the good stuff in the trailer. You didn't. It's the whole movie is good. This is the exception. So the whole movie is just zombie filled, action filled. There's a whole lot of emotional stuff going on. A lot of people dying. You feel for them. They actually really build the characters exceptionally well.
Yes.
I mean, some movies like zombie films don't do that, but this one nailed it perfectly. And yeah, just everything about this was good. There were some special effects that were slightly off, but the majority of them, especially the ones including the zombies, were spot on.
Very good. And they didn't overdo it with makeup. But most of these zombies were fresh anyway.
And then there's one thing that there's some kind, I don't know if they're like, if there were dancers, but the people who turned into zombies, the way they gyrated and then flopped up, and when they got up, it was just so, it seemed like they were like dancers and they trained to do this particular move. It was amazing the amount of effort that was put into those performances.
I agree with that. The character developing, like some zombie movies can't do it in the short amount of time it takes.
Mm-hmm.
I think this movie pulled off what Walking Dead took 5 seasons to do. Like,
they introduce you to these characters like throughout the buildup of this zombie outbreak in little snippets. You see these guys doing this, having this conversation, so you learn their, you know, triggers and their, you know, mannerisms. And then you see this guy with his pregnant wife and he's doing this and this, and then then to see some of those characters instantly have to kind of break that role that you knew because of this horrible incident thing that's happening. It's great. It pulls heartstrings. It does just what it needs to do. I like this one a lot.
It grabbed my interest in the very beginning, not because of the emotional part, but just because of the deer, which is kind of a weird thing to say if you haven't watched the movie. There's a deer in the very beginning of this movie. And it kind of set the tone for it. I was like, this is going to be interesting because they took that much effort to make that scene with the deer look good. That I know the rest of this movie is going to be awesome.
It sets the pace.
I'm like, satisfied.
Yeah. And I do want to say that this is a South Korean zombie film. I'm just saying if you're going to go watch it, get ready to read their subtitles. Some people don't like that. I did not mind it, regardless of the fact it was hard to find the subtitles for the video. But
it's weird. If I see a movie in subtitles, I want to, every time I watch it after that, I want to see it in subtitles.
You want to see it?
Because I'm familiar with their voices and I want to read it. But if I see it dubbed first, then I want to like watch it up again. Because
you know those. Because
that's what I know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I actually would be curious to watch this with English dub just to see.
I think we wrote it. At this point, especially after hearing the little kids screaming at the end, I'm just like, oh, don't scream. your dad saved you. You know, but yeah, I think listening to a dub would kind of ruin it for me. I like the original language.
You want to set this one up?
I can. Basically, there is a dad who's a hard worker. I don't know if he runs the business or if he's just high up in the business, but he is a businessman, and he's got a little girl, and he's just been divorced, so he's, you know, dealing with the, you know, troubles you have to deal with when you get divorced and you have a kid. And it's her birthday, and all she wants to do is be together with her mom and him together, you know, as a family. And he doesn't really want to do it. He has work to do, but he's like, okay, I'll grant you this one wish. So he goes to take her on a train trip.
I think it's funny that he bought her a Wii U and she already has one. Because he doesn't know.
She probably just got that for her birthday.
Yeah.
Because the box was still sitting there. Yeah. Because that's sort of a mistake. Not that he, you know,
Was just setting up the fact that he's so busy.
Yeah, he's just not.
Yeah.
Which was really nicely done. Mm. But so they go on a little train trip, and then from there, the train trip just becomes a disaster and just explodes into a zombie apocalypse. There's no way to explain it.
Yeah.
Instant zombie apocalypse. The dad's going to get her to where she needs to go. And for me, a lot of the main part of the movie was him, you know, not being just for himself and his, you know,
his
daughter, and then being for other people as well. You know, caring about other people other than just himself. So that was a repeating theme in the movie. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I love. He was one of my favorite character building, the way they did that. Because at first, like we mentioned, he doesn't like have time. He's got to go. He's got to get this done at work. He's got projects that he has to get done at work. So he even asked his right hand man to go buy her a Christmas present or what Christmas present, you know, kids like. And then on the train. There are people who need help at the beginning, and his daughter's nice to him. He's like, hey, no, don't do that. In this moment, we need to care about ourselves, just ourselves right now. And, you know, slowly you watch this guy. He even goes through a Rick Grimes phase where he's just this BA zombie basher, you know, who doesn't take any prisoners. He's getting his daughter out of there and his newly gained companions out of there no matter what. What do you think of the quote unquote antagonist outside of the zombies? Like that business dude who,
I hated the old dude. I wanted him to die.
So many times. Yeah.
And he ends up, he ruined so many people's lives. I wanted him to die. I hated that guy so much.
But you're supposed to.
When I found out that he survived that massacre in the bathroom, I was just like, really?
Yeah. His whole run for freedom and survival, he just kills like how many people on the way.
And characters that we have grown to enjoy die because of this man's ignorance and want to survive.
He ends up dying anyway.
Yeah.
And he ends up killing like kind of one of the main characters.
So. Yeah.
I did not like him. I hated him. I wanted him to die. I never wanted somebody to die so much in a movie. So that I can remember in my life.
And it's great for them to have that kind of person in a zombie apocalypse film. Because it's like, you would think the focus is on the zombies, but no, they've built this guy up for you to hate as well, you know, almost more than the zombies. It's like,
it's kind of like 28 Days Later, like at the end, like the people are just as bad as the zombies, yep. Or if not worse.
Yep.
And like, they pretty much prove this in this movie.
And that's one of the things I like about Walking Dead, because Walking Dead focuses on, which some people see as a detriment, but that's, I think, his original goal with that show was to focus on the people and show you what this would do to people, you know. And I think this film pulled that off, like in the, I think, 2 hours that it is. It showed you so many different people, so many different likable characters and hated.
He was able to do a lot in 2 hours.
Yes.
I mean, with the character development and all the action scenes and the ending, they tied it all together really well. In that short period of time, you think this could be like a TV series?
Yes,
easily.
Yeah, this instead of Snowpiercer. but there was this character who had a pregnant wife, real big guy. Like he's wearing his vest.
I thought he was just chubby at first until he took off his coat, and he was ripped. He was just ripped, like massively huge.
But this guy caught my attention from the start. This main character, I guess main character, I also call her main character, but both dark girls in these movies, zombie films. But she wanted to go to the bathroom, and she comes across this guy, and she wants to use the bathroom, but he's like, my pregnant wife is in there and she might take a while. And he knocks on the door and she yells back at him. And he's like, okay, I'm sorry, baby. It's okay. She's leaving. He's like, go get out of here. You know, he instantly is set up as kind of this comedic relief that can also kick butt and take names, which he does. But yeah, he becomes a very integral part in the main character surviving and making it.
They almost overmade NBA because like when they're all suiting up to go take on the zombies and try to get to the train where his wife has had to save him, everybody else is like completely wrapped up in some way or another.
I got
takes his coat off.
Yeah.
So he's exposing his arms and just tapes his like forearms mm-hmm. and that's it.
And gives his weapons up. Like he's like, here, you take this shield.
I don't need any of this. I'm just gonna use my fist.
Which he does. And these are the, did I mention that these are the fast zombies and not the slow ones? Yeah. Which ones do you prefer?
I prefer, from movie enjoyment, I like the fast zombies. Mm-hmm. But I don't mind, like, my favorite zombie movie is still...
Later.
Okay. I won't say. But I do like, I don't mind the slow zombies. Mm-hmm. They are fun, and they kind of make more sense if you're...
Decaying corpse.
If you're dead, mm-hmm. basically, or whatever, undead. Yeah. It makes more sense. But yeah, I enjoy, like, from 28 Days Later mm-hmm. is the one that really flipped me on, wow, fast zombies are cool.
Yeah.
Even though they're not really zombies in 28 Days
Later. Like
they don't, ever say they're zombies. But they're basically zombies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I just love to see that aggression in the zombies. Like, Was it 28 Days Later? Just that they just rip you apart. Their mouths are just dripping and oozing, and they're freaking doing that whole just to get to you, just like Goldum did when he was trying to reach for the ring. Mm-hmm. it's just this craziness that I love. I love to see. That's not to get me wrong. I will watch slow zombies because there is that creepiness that. But you think you're good if you run away from them, but you never know. They got that last second lunge all the time, you know?
Most people, when they're in like that situation where they're being chased or attacked, it's like they kind of freeze. Mm-hmm. So like a slow zombie, it's like super fast.
Yeah. yeah, they do that fall on you then, and you're just, oh my God! And someone's going to trip, because there's always a trip. But yeah, this back to the train to this. the sisters... Those old sisters, like, that was, I love all of that. That they had this their own little mini movie inside this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, they're these bickering old sisters. They start with one is peeling a hard-boiled egg, and she offers her sister an egg.
You're smarter than you to be those.
And, you know, they're just these old, and then they set it up nicely to where the male main character, the dad, has a conversation with his mom. And the little girl is listening, and she's like, is Granny okay, you know? And all of a sudden, she realizes her grandma's dead, and then she sees these two old sisters who she literally starts to call Granny because of that whole, it's just great. Done very well. And they both kind of go comatose when they get separated at a point in the movie. And then they see each other, and when they see each other, sadly, it's their last moment of seeing each other. And one of them dies before the other. And the other one, I thought, brought a sweet, sweet justice killing that evil dude.
Yeah. I was hoping that somebody would open that door
mm-hmm.
before that happened. I'm like, oh, please, somebody open that door.
Because mm-hmm.
those people don't deserve it. Open that door. And so it happened. I was surprised by who did it, though. I thought it was going to be like the guy or something.
Yeah.
Went back. But yeah, I like that scene a lot.
It's just so many good scenes in this movie that there's a point in the film where the businessman that we hate, he rallies everyone in the room after our heroes go through hell to go through three cars full of zombies and to save their loved ones. They make it back to the car where all the people are, where the rest of civilization is, and he tries to force them out, losing my main favorite character, the big guy, in the process, leaving his wife, and now his kid's gonna be a bastard. So, sure. And
a hero.
Yes. Yeah. He did die a hero. I was hoping that they like had a cool scene where they had to fight his zombie because he's all big and stuff, but
he gets trampled.
Yeah, he kind of after that. True. This guy has rallied everyone in this room to keep those heroes out, saying that they might be infected. You don't know if they're infected. And they get into this room. They have to fight their way into this room, losing like three people in the process, two, three people. And this guy, they get in there and he rallies them once again after getting punched in the face, saying, he's infected.
I hated that scene where he said he was infected and knew he wasn't.
Yeah.
I hated that.
He's like, he's infected, just to get this guy off of him and get them out of here. So they send them out of there to this little room in between cars. And as I said, the sister was in that room and she saw her sister get trampled because of this guy's ignorance and eaten. And then she sees her zombified sister at the door. And I thought gave us our just due, but I was wrong. We come back after a few scenes and he's made it in the bathroom after getting a whole train car killed. And once again, to get out of that bathroom, he kills another dude.
No, the fire is so important.
Wow. And then the conductor, that was really exciting for me. I'm like, somebody just has to shoot this guy in the face. Because the conductor, this brave guy who's been running this train this whole time where all this is going on behind him, trying to get these people to safety, he's safe. But he sees this idiot, this evil dude running, and he trips, and he is forced to go, go get this guy. Yeah. So he goes up there to try and save him, and what happens? He gets eaten and stuff. And this guy gets on the train and is gone away. But not before justice was served, finally. And even then, after justice wasn't served quick enough.
Yeah.
Because this kills our main character. That's right, folks. Horrific spoilers. The father, who has fought so hard to keep his daughter alive, loses his life saving his daughter. Which I don't think probably couldn't have happened to him. I think that it needed to happen.
Yeah.
It sucks that it did happen because he was a great character.
It was a sucky moment, but it's a horror film. Yeah. And sucky moments always happen in horror films. Exactly. At the end. So.
And the fact that there are times where I was watching this and I forgot it was a horror film. Like, this is a very well done horror film. Like, you can't say that often.
No. This is just good. Like, if you like zombies, even if you don't like zombies, this is a great film. His death scene I liked a lot. I took some testosterone shots while watching it just not to cry. So, and then I liked the ending. I thought was good too. I thought they did that well, where there was just those two left. What kind of frightens me though is that this kid hasn't spoke to her mom since the thing. Like, I don't think her mom survived.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the mom. I think she's probably in there staying with the lady that had
the baby.
Yeah, Shelly, but yeah.
Because they called her mom and they never got a hold of her after that initial outbreak.
I didn't know what time her mom was
in. I think her mom was in Busan. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But they couldn't reach her, so even though Busan was safe, they couldn't reach her. But my question is any town ever safe in this scenario? Because it's just gonna keep happening. You know what I mean? Like, it's gonna keep plaguing and spreading, and these zombies are gonna keep coming.
They had a handle on it when they got to that town. They were keeping things out.
But a city so big, can you really block all the borders and keep all the borders safe? You know.
Well, that's Trump.
Yeah.
It looks like they're just screaming over the
borders. Anything else on the train to Busan?
No. I like the movie. I thought it was awesome.
Highly recommended. Go watch it. And that'll bring us to what I stressed you on, and I apologize for that. Favorite zombie movie?
My favorite is Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead. Gotcha.
I mean, I'm going way back. It's black and white. Mm-hmm. But
it's great.
It just hits the spot. I mean, when you want to watch a zombie, I don't know why. For me, it just hits the spot. That's my zombie go-to. Not to say there are great, you know, other ones that have come out since then.
Yeah.
But for some reason, that one is just like, it's my go-to. I don't know why, it just is.
It's good. It's great movie.
It's ahead of its time.
Yes.
In so many ways.
Mine?
You, Marvel.
Mine is Dawn of the Dead remake.
The remake?
Yes. I thought that was done so well. I was interested in the people. It had its corny moments, but I enjoyed it. Like, it was one of my main introductions. Like, I had seen the original, but that was a different time. So this was like my main reintroduction into zombies.
Sometimes if a movie's dated, you can't even connect to it.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is great. And I think it was my first time seeing the fast zombie done. Like, I don't think I saw that done before. And I was like, whoa, this is great. This is awesome. I love this. And yeah, I just like that one.
If you had a runner-up, which one would it be?
Can I say the first season of Walking Dead? Jeez. Runner-up.
Mine, I'll give you a break, is 28 Days Later.
Ooh.
It's like the reversal.
Can I forget that?
There's Night of the Living Dead, Slow Zombies. And for me, it was the first introduction to the super, super fast, crazy. Mm-hmm. Even though they're not technically in a movie called Zombies. We all know they're zombies.
Yeah.
So for that for me is probably my runner-up.
There were some beautiful shots.
So everything about it. I remember going to the theaters and seeing that. And I'm pretty sure I'm remembering this correctly. This is the one at the beginning. There's a scene where the guy's laying there naked.
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing all of his stuff. And there's somebody in the audience. He's like, oh, come on. And the audience was like dead silent. Oh, okay, that guy. And it was the most hilarious moment ever. Everybody laughed. So I loved it. But that's not the reason why I love the movie. But I just thought that movie just nailed everything. Like the zombie thing, it nailed the emotional thing, the character development. Everything was just on point.
I mean,
you can go wrong with 28 Days Later. Sequel, not so much. But
28 weeks.
It was okay.
Yeah.
But compared to the first one, no. That was just awesome.
I think I will hijack your second and say it's mine as well.
Okay.
Because I have one on my mind, but if I'm remembering right, it was extremely corny and had John Leguizamo. So I think Day of the Dead.
There's Night, Dawn, and Day.
I'm going to go ahead and switch to 28 Days Later. I'll jump on the bandwagon. But I do love the original Dawn of the Dead. I have since rewatched that. It is still a fantastic zombie movie.
I'm a fan of that one. I like the originals of those particular movies.
Mm-hmm.
They're particularly sweet.
That will bring us to suggestions. So you went first on trailers. I'll go first here. Mm-hmm. So I watched the movie last night.
Mm-hmm.
Was it last night? Whenever it was. Called, I want to get this title right here, Repo, The Genetic Opera.
First of all, I know this movie. I've watched it several times, but go ahead. Good old Paris Hilton.
Yes, Paris Hilton is in this film and actually does a good job, in my opinion. This film is on the same vein as the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Not the same ideas or concepts, but I'm kind of feeling you don't like this movie.
I don't think they did it right.
This is one of those intentionally, like, I think B-movies is a proper name for it. Mm-hmm. And I found myself enjoying this, having a good time with that movie. I loved the Repo Man himself. I love the comic book cutscenes to explain what's going on in the world.
I like it, it was the guy from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Anybody who's a Buffy the Vampire Slayer
is already
is probably gonna enjoy watching him be that character.
I didn't finish Buffy, so I'm not Sorry.
It's such a good show.
But yeah, who was he in Buffy? Or is that Big Time Spoilers?
He played like the librarian type.
Was he the guy who gave her all the information?
Yeah, he was like her mentor.
Yeah, yeah, whatever, okay. I liked his character a lot.
Did you think the music? I'm sorry, buddy.
No, you're good.
Did you think the music was good? The songs were good, or did you think they were a little?
The songs were forced in some cases.
Yeah, they were.
Garbage. Yeah,
say garbage.
They were not all good. I wanted that because Chicago spoiled me. I love musicals. Chicago, I think, did musicals right. They have the big songs, but they also have actual scenes. You know, it's not all singing, but I guess that's opera. That's why it's called an opera, because it is all song. But with that said, I love the gore. I love some of the characters, like the three kids of the guy. Like, I love that they all have their quirks. You have this one who was just this homicidal, crazy person who could cut your throat. So much so that they had a change of shirts ready for him every time he did. Like, he would literally start undressing and get a new shirt on. The daughter, played by Paris Hilton, has this addiction to surgery, constantly getting her face changed. And then you have the creeptastic one who had a French accent for whatever reason, and he wears other people's faces for fun, you know, which I just found very, very fun, and it's not a movie to take serious.
Yeah, that was my problem. I tried to take it too seriously.
Yeah.
I wanted it to wow me, and it didn't.
You said you watched it several times?
I own it.
You own it?
And no, I hate it. Yeah. I do own movies that I hate.
But it's fun, though. Yeah. It's
I keep watching it because I want something from it that I didn't get when I originally watched it.
Are you not getting that yet?
But I'm still on board. I haven't given up on it yet because it is a good idea.
Yeah.
And it's that oddball movie that you kind of want to love.
Mm-hmm.
But I just haven't been able to yet.
And that was my first movie of 2017. Well, so I'm glad it was followed by 2 and 3 being the girl, you know, with all the gifts and the Train to Busan. But yeah, I enjoyed it. So that's my suggestion for you all. And go in with eyes wide open and ready for an experience.
Yeah. That's all I can say. I'm gonna throw in. I watched the movie 2017. It didn't come out in 2017, but I missed it when it did come out. I finally watched it. I was aware of it, but I was like, it's just another one of these movies. I ain't gonna watch it. Whatever. And it's called Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl.
I've not seen this.
I don't know if you haven't seen that. Well, it is amazing. I didn't think it was going to do anything for me. I thought it was just going to be another one of those teen, kind of, sort of, feel good, go through something, and then learn something at the end movies, which there's like a billion of them. But this one, kind of, I don't know, it was different. I didn't expect it. It crept up on you. And it kind of fools you in the movie, if you listen to the guy talking. It kind of fools you a little bit. But I won't completely ruin it for you, but yeah. Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl, it's about a guy who's kind of a I don't want to say a loner, but he doesn't have a lot of friends. He's just trying to coast through life. He's in high school. And then I guess his mom tells him that one of his classmates is dying of cancer. So he's like, oh, well, crap. I mean, you know, that's cool, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then she's like, well, you should go be your friend. And he's like, no. Why? I'm trying to coast through life here. I don't want to be anybody's friend. She's like, no, you're going to go be his friend, be her friend. So he does. He goes, he meets with her. She's clearly not into it. She's like, yeah, I know why you're here. It's cool. I don't really want you to do all this. It's fine. I'll deal with this myself. But he sticks with it, and he stays with it. It's about them growing, becoming friends, and then ultimately whatever happens, happens at the end. And I just think it was brilliantly done. You know, it was fun. It was funny. And it was hard movie, so I mean, if you get all those in one movie,
it's a good, you're good to go. Yeah, so it was better than Repo was. And I got free.
It was better than Repo. Yes, I would recommend that one over Repo.
two very different suggestions. Go watch them both, ladies and gentlemen, because that's what life is about. Going out there and enjoying things, experiencing new things. And movies gives that to you. But that, my friends, for those of you who are new to the podcast, that was suggestions. It's a regular segment we do. Hopefully there's some new ones of you in 2017. You know, fingers crossed. But we have had a tournament of sorts going on for the last, forever. We started, I think, episode 4, maybe 3. The big movie bad guy challenge thing where we both picked 10 movie bad guys. And we have been pitting them head-to-head ever since each episode to see which one will come out on top. And it's not so much as which one of our villains will come out on top, because if a villain is better, if one of his is better than mine, I'm going to concede and say so, because I want to see the best villain shine. Likewise. In this tournament. So, we have since, go back and listen, please, and go watch the movie, and you can see the bracket and all the lineup and matchups. GoWatchMovie.com. And we have since done the bottom five, and now we are on our top five. Number five for each of us, Lord Voldemort versus
Norman Bates.
Norman Bates. And let me explain some of the, because just saying that, people are going to say, who haven't heard what we're doing here, are going to say, duh. But what we're doing here is, who had the best plan, who had the best motives, and who accomplished what they wanted to do better. It's not just, we're going to pit these guys up against each other and duke it out. So Lord Voldemort, this character, everyone knows him. If you haven't watched Harry Potter, pause this and go watch it and then come back. But
given misinformation, but still. It can drive a man mad and cause their downfall. And 9 times out of 10, it does. And it did for him on so many levels, because he had chances. People begged him when they were brave enough, begged him to stop this obsession and just win, because he had the opportunity to do so. He studied probably deeper, so far that we know of, because we don't have an ocean to come up with, deeper than any other wizard, the darkest of dark. He went further than most wizards ever did by splitting his soul to the point of almost breaking it, just to be immortal. He's just... bad dude.
That sounds like a bad dude. Like, I can't really pump up Norman Bates more than I can Lord Voldemort. I mean, I like Norman Bates, but I don't think he can, in a level playing field, compete with Voldemort. The main reason why I like more Norman Bates was pretty much because of the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. After everything's said and done, he's just sitting there. He's kind of like staring at the camera. He's like, no, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to sit here. We're not going to reveal that, the mother supposedly is inside of him or whatever. That he's so crazy that he thinks the mother's inside of him. He's not going to reveal any of that. He's just going to take the rap. But it's not really him. It's like that psycho part of him.
That
for me is why I love him so much. He's able to accomplish what he wants to accomplish.
Yes, definitely.
But at the same time, he himself is in denial about it, because he doesn't know that he's crazy.
Yeah. And he's doing this for his mother.
Yeah, he's so crazy, he doesn't realize what he's doing.
Yeah.
But he's still able to accomplish, just to perform and get done whatever he thinks his mother wants to. But that doesn't compare to Voldemort, so I'm just going to have to go right out there and concede, because I don't see the two of them.
And don't get me wrong.
Even if Voldemort didn't have any magical powers, still, it doesn't. There's no level playing field there. Like Norman loses.
Do you think? How do you think a magical Norman would cope?
A magical Norman,
like that amount of crazy in the wizarding world.
He's. I mean, if you watch him, he plays two people.
Yes.
And even well, when he's getting drilled by the guy, comes to talk to him and drills him about, you know, was this person here, you know, blah, blah, blah. Even he messes up. Mm-hmm. So he's just fumbling through it. And if he, when his fumbling doesn't work, he just tries to stab him or kill him or whatever. So no, he doesn't. It's not even, he's not that focused or, you know, planning, or he's just kind of fumbling through whatever mm-hmm. he's doing. As a crazy person normally does.
But he is a great character.
He's a super awesome character. I love him to death.
Yeah.
In a weird sort of way. But I just think he's an awesome villain. He's not the top villain of all time, but he is an awesome villain.
Yes, and deserves to be mentioned. Have you seen that show?
I have not seen the show yet.
I started it.
It's on my list. Mm. Got so many things to watch. Yes. It takes forever to watch stuff nowadays because I've been binge watching. Mm. So yeah, he's on my list.
The Dark Lord moves ahead. I guess I don't need to say any more about him, even though I mentioned to. But yeah, that's this round of the Big Bad Guy Movie Challenge. Voldemort moves forward. And once again, if you guys want to go to gowatchmovie.com, there is a bracket there that I am finally keeping up with and going. Last week, I put out a call out to all people who listen to give us suggestions for movies to watch and talk about on the show. We actually got a few replies. A friend of the show, Mr. Steve, said anything.
Mr. Steve.
What's up,
Steve?
he said, let's see here, I don't want to misquote him. Okay, so we had quite a long conversation, but he said anything from Full Moon and gave us a few titles: Tracers, Puppet Master, 3, 4, 5, Dollman, Subspecies, 1 through 4.
You mentioned this.
Demonic Toy.
Yeah, he mentioned some B movies.
Dollman versus Demonic Toy.
Yeah.
Bad Channels, Castle Freak, Oblivion. Just a few come to mind, he says. And then he comes back and says, don't think it was Full Moon, but watch Zone Troopers. Yeah.
Zone Troopers.
Zone Troopers.
Okay.
Nazis versus aliens.
All right. I'll watch it.
We also had a friend of mine, Willie, said discuss Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Ooh.
Have you seen that one?
I do. I own it.
Yeah. I've seen it once. I don't remember it very well. It
several times.
So I would love to watch that one as well. Thank you guys, and we will be watching those because I'm man of my word. Not all of those I read on his list, but you know, a couple of them.
Zone Troopers,
we can do.
Killer Clowns.
Please send us your suggestions through email. Post them on the Facebook page. Go watch a movie /Facebook or vice versa, however that goes. At Twitter, go watch a movie. Send us an email, gowatchamovie@yahoo.com. Check out the page, gowatchamovie.com. You can listen to the podcast there. You can find our podcast on iTunes and just about anywhere else you can hear a podcast. But yeah, get involved. Send us a movie recommendation and we will shout you out. I think that's it for this week. Hello, 2017.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We do have some more stuff planned down the pipe, maybe. Once we hash out how we want to do it, we'll be telling you guys that. But join us for episode 16 next week. Don't know what we're going to do yet, but it's going to be spectacular, I bet. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Kelvin.
Yeah, I'm Robert.
Go watch a movie.